back in the studio with Cultivating Hearts, and Janelle, I'm his chair, myself, Sandy, and we have been discussing Mark 10, 35 through 45, and Tara made a great point last time. You know, James and John, even though at the moment they didn't get it, they were incredibly loyal to Jesus as they followed him, even to death. And today, Tanya's going to talk about, in the verse, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
I'm thinking of Tanya, too, but I'm Tara.
Oh, did I say Tanya? I've got Tanya on your mind. Are you okay out there?
We miss you, Tan. Yeah.
That's funny. I haven't done that one before.
That's all good. All right. I'm wondering, would one of you want to tell the story today? Go ahead, Janelle.
He's looking at me again.
Yeah, he's looking at you.
Okay, so in this story, two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, came up to him and asked, "Teacher, we want you to do something for us." And he asked, "What do you want?" Probably not like that. And they said, "Please grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Well, Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking." And then he asks them a question. He asks, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized?" And they said, "Yes, we are able." And Jesus said, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptized that I'm baptized with, you will be baptized with. But I'm sorry, to sit at my right hand and my left is not for me to grant, but it's already been pre-prepared." And when the 10 heard what James and John had done, they got really indignant. And then Jesus called everyone together and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. But it can't be so among you. Whoever among you wants to be great must be your servant, but whoever would be first must be a slave to all. For when the Son of Man came, he did not come to be served, but to serve, and he gave his life, or will give his life as a ransom for many."
It's so good. It's so good. Thank you, Janelle. I want us to focus in on the word "for even," the word "even," where it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many."
I don't even know if I used the word when I said it.
No, maybe your translation doesn't have it, but it does. Okay. And the word "even" is an adverb, and you know what? I didn't write down who I got this from. Oh, Mark Dowling. Okay. I'm like, I didn't see it at first. He says, "This adverb hits hard. When we are moved to complain as our pride is wounded over failed ambition or service that did not receive much praise from our fellows, we need to spend time contemplating this adverb, even." Mm-hmm. Who are we to complain? Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. I think of how many times, you know, we can go into something or into circumstance and we think it's got to be us. It's got to be us, you know, or I need the attention. I need the whatever. And our thoughts, we need to, even the Son of Man, even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve. Allowing that to be a part so that we have the same mind that he has. So, Sandy, I'm going to have you go to Philippians 2, 5 through 8, and we're going to read this. And I want us to look at, what does this attitude look like that we need to have that's like Jesus? Like, how can we have that attitude in us so that people can see that it's Christ in us? And it's a good one, isn't it?
It's one of my favorites.
Is it really good? Yeah. Then you can add a whole bunch and help us grow.
You can add a whole bunch.
We can grow. Okay, Philippians 2, 5 and 8.
5 through 8.
5 through 8.
"Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
I love it. Okay, so think on, we talked about diakonos and doulos, and that I am a servant leader within the Lord, the diakonos, and that I am choosing to be a slave. So it's a voluntary change of the will of the heart and mind to be like Jesus. And the three things I put down that I needed to change, I needed to remember too, was he did not take advantage of equality. He could have. He could have easily said, nope, not going to happen. And this is so heavy on my heart that one of the things that God convicted me of before I ever was even close to even graduating with my doctorate, I don't like making a big deal about it. I don't like asking people to call me Dr. Rye. I don't talk like that. I'm like, I will acknowledge that I've gone, you know, but it's an acknowledgement. For me, it's not an issue of trying to show something bigger because I'm called to be a servant. And if I require people calling me Dr. Rye, I'm saying I'm better in our cultural standards. Cultural standards look at it that way. So I don't introduce myself that way because I don't want to take advantage and put myself where I'm above. Because he could have, but he didn't. Jesus, he suppressed his glory so that he could walk on this earth for us. And we need to have that same kind of attitude. Now, I know there are places and circumstances it's required and I have to honor the authorities above me, and I'll do that. But not to take advantage of others when we feel that our position is higher, whatever. But at the same time, not to do it with those that are shoulder to shoulder to us, where we overuse them. You know, we're equal. And so don't take advantage of that equality with one another. And so that needs to be in our mind. The second thing I saw is that he emptied himself as a servant. And it's that pouring out. So as we are going through the cup of suffering, and he's pouring into us the overflow, the cup of joy, because we're not going to have the suffering without the joy if we're in Christ. We need to understand that's the reason why those two cups go together in the metaphor in Jewish tradition. The overflow of, as we are getting the inflow from the suffering, it's going to overflow into others as a servant. And that's in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 11, where Paul is talking about God of all compassion, God of all comfort, my trials and tribulations that, you know, it's for your comfort. It's for your compassion. It's for your salvation. And so anything that we have happening to us, it's that we in turn will then pour it out. And so that means in my mind, I am constantly looking at every single person. I know this is crazy, but that's what I'm training my mind to do. I'm looking at how can I help them where they're at, go to the next level to pour out what they're getting from God, you know, and for some that's unto salvation, for some that's unto comfort, some of that's to compassion, and that whichever level it is that they're taking that and giving it to the next person. The third thing is that he was humbly obedient to death. Now, we obviously are not faced with the consequences of the cross, but it is a dying to self. He says, he who wants to follow me must take up his cross and die daily. And so asking ourselves, how am I dying to myself in this? So when pride, jealousy, strife, angst, whatever, worry rises up in me, I ask myself, what is it that needs to die in me that I can be the servant that I'm called to be? Okay. What are your thoughts on that?
I just always loved this passage. We had a hall theme my sophomore year that was empty, and everyone thought we were crazy because it's a really strange theme for a hall, but the point of it was to get people to think about it. But it was based on this passage and the idea that in order to be filled with Christ, we need to be emptied of ourselves. And he set that example of not looking to his own interests, not, you know, being consumed with things in himself, but put himself aside, emptied himself to be filled with love and compassion for someone else, to be filled with God and holiness.
That's good. That's good. This is essentially Jesus's mission statement.
It's a big message of humility.
It is. And so the Son of Man came to to be served, and not to be served, but to serve. The actual word servant in this one is diakonese. It's diakon and then E-S-A-I with a accent over the E. And this is because Jesus gave his psuche, which is his soul and his life, the P-S-U-C-H-E with an accent over the E. It's to the other level. So it's not just I am a servant, but I am a servant to even die to my soul life, okay? And so it was profound, the word that was being used in describing Jesus in this passage. So if we could read Isaiah, Sandy, you go to Isaiah 53 on what, verses 10 and 12.
The suffering servant.
Uh-huh. And then I want Janelle to go to 1 Timothy 2, 6, okay? And we're going to look at how this mission is fulfilled in Christ and what Scripture has to say about it. Sandy, do you have it? 53, verse 10 and 12.
10 and 12, or not through 12?
10. Well, go ahead and go through 12.
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
I want to pull in some emphasis. It actually says, remember the definition that is used in this passage for his mission statement says that he will be a servant to the point of giving up his soul. Uh-huh. Isaiah 53 says he will give up his soul. He will suffer up his soul. It also uses the portion of his greatness, which would be the example of the cup of joy, comes because he poured out his life, which would be the cup of suffering, the cup of judgment, the wrath of God. And in Isaiah 53 right there, we have the summation of what Jesus is talking about right here with James and John. Powerful, many years before it ever occurred. And so they know the prophecy. They've heard the prophecy. They're now walking with him.
Understanding it, yeah.
And so they'll see the culmination of the fulfillment of it in time. So 1 Timothy 2, let's go to that one now.
1 Timothy 2, 6 says, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time.
Okay.
Which is 6. Okay.
Right. And so do you see how after this is the fulfillment of the prophecy that he's talking about to them as it's come complete? It's just beautiful. I love how Scripture supports Scripture. And just thinking through how this mission statement is critical for us. And what would happen if I lived out my life understanding the Son, even the Son of Man came to be served. Even the Son of Man came to be served. But that he would give his life as a ransom for many. That one statement, if we could repeat that often in our lives, during the day as we're interacting with others, it will transform us in how we will respond in our interactions with those around us. So with that, I want us to understand, let's go to Romans 8 now. Sandy, if you do, 8, 36 through 39. And it'll tell us in this passage that even though these things will happen, some things we should hold on to as believers as we're in the midst of our sufferings. All right, Romans 8, 36 through 39.
As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay.
I love that.
It is a good passage. So as we are dealing with our sufferings, we can trust we are loved, we are victorious, and nothing's going to separate us from God. Not death, not height, nothing. Nothing can separate us from him. So we have to rest in that love and in the promised victory. And it goes back to what we were talking about in the first show is trust. Mm. You know, the trusting that Jesus will fulfill what he has come to fulfill. And embracing that fulfillment. And so recognizing that we're bought with a price. So I'm going to have Janelle, would you go to 1 Corinthians 6? And we're going to end with reading 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. We've been walking through so much and looking at the bookends of the apostles of James and John. And this is kind of going to be our catalyst of what we need to remember. Okay, so go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20.
Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That right there is almost like the fulfillment and the definition of a slave, right? It was the willful giving over of self to the master. And we've been bought with a price. The ransom was paid by Jesus. And we are called to glorify him with our body. That's our choices, the willful, voluntary act of our heart and mind to be like Jesus, to have the same attitude as him. So what aspect of this month's lessons are you guys going to hold on to? Which one is speaking to you right now?
Even.
Yeah.
Even Jesus came to serve.
Yeah.
And he did it so humbly and so with love and not thoughts of himself, but of others.
Right.
I think that's an important thing.
It's key.
Mm-hmm. I think that the humility ties in really well with this, but being able to humbly not offer condemnation like we talked about, but to allow for conviction and to point things out, but to do it in an attitude that is not from a spirit of condemnation, but from a heart that desires improvement and edification, not just condemnation.
So good. That's so good. I know I want that same attitude in me. Well, all of the things that we've discussed are things that God's been working on me, because that's usually what it is. It's in the process of what I'm being taught. I think for myself is the praying through and asking how I can speak in life into others so that it is from him and not from me, you know, going after that. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We just thank you for the privilege of serving you. God bless.